Can we sing the first verse of number 32? Thankful to be here this morning. Appreciate the blessings of the Lord and ask for your prayers, the Lord to bless His Word. We sang this song titled, What a Kingdom. There's a theme that's sweet to my memory. There's a joy that I cannot declare. The treasure that gladdens my being, 'tis the kingdom of righteousness here. We sang another song this morning that says there's joy in the service of the Master. Could I sing out the pleasure in my bosom, how my heart thrills with glory in the way? All the world would no longer in the desert stay, but to my Jesus come, and even today. Do you feel that way this morning? I hope that that's every one of our testimony and the feeling of my heart, that I'm enjoying my salvation so much, that I'm feeling the joy of the Lord, that if the world could only feel what I'm feeling, if the world could only experience what I'm experiencing, and sometimes I don't know how to tell them and I don't know how to relate it to them, but if they could just feel what I'm feeling, they'd want it too. I think that's what our salvation is supposed to be. I believe the Lord wants it to be with joy that we draw water from the wells of salvation. I don't believe it's just to be a hardship on us or just a burden that we carry alone, but instead, salvation releases the burden. It releases the load that we carry, and we are to be able to sing the song of the redeemed. I remember the time when I got saved. Maybe all of us have our own testimony, and maybe can remember the time that the Lord dealt with you and you felt the guilt and you felt the regret and the shame and coming to the Lord and praying. And do you remember the time that the burden rolled away? You remember the time whenever you just felt clean and clear and happy? That is, I believe, one of the most wonderful feelings there is. But you know, that's not the end of it. I'm thankful that it's not just a one-time experience or a short-lived rush or a thrill or some kind of high that we experience for a little while. But the song that we just sang said, of the kingdom of peace. It's not a kingdom that the world is looking for, that the church world even, that a time is coming, of course, that Jesus will come and set up a literal kingdom and then we'll be able to obtain peace. But the kingdom comes not with observation. It is within us. And the Lord wants to be able to set up His kingdom within every one of us. Bring His peace and tranquility, not from freedom of government or freedom from other people, but to be able to have freedom from sin. It says, 'tis a kingdom of peace. It is reigning within. It shall ever increase in my soul. It doesn't sound like to me it's something that's designed or intended to be a short-lived experience. It doesn't sound like it's even something that's intended to just stay put. to just stay in the same level or in the same place, but there is an increase of this kingdom. So I'd like to begin in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We understand this to be a prophecy of Jesus and of the work that he was coming to do and establish in this world, that he would come and set up a kingdom. He would come and do a work within our hearts and within our lives. It says he is the Prince of Peace. The world searches for peace and everywhere but the right place, and they're not able to obtain it. We bought a place this year, as some of you know, out in the country a little more from where we are. And it's why we wanted to get out in the quiet. The people that we bought it from, one lady said, I hope that you find peace out here. You know, in a sense, I find a peaceful setting, but I don't find peace there. If I don't come to that place with peace in my heart, I'm not going to find peace based on the place that I go to. But there's one that came to set up a government. So if he sets up a government, what do you think the government will be characterized by? He is the Prince of Peace, and he comes to set up a kingdom of peace within our hearts. Isaiah 32 and verse 17 says that the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation and in sure dwelling and in quiet resting places. It's a promise for what the Lord has for every one of us. The effect and the work of righteousness, what the Lord has come to do, and it says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. The enemy comes and he works nothing but havoc and destruction and turmoil and unrest and disturbance, and we see it in our world all around. There's one race of people that's pitted against another, and one class of people against another class, and there's so much turmoil and strife and hatred, and the police against other folks, and the non-law abiding pitting against one another in strife and turmoil, trying to find peace. It's going to take more than a man to make America great again. It's going to take a work that happens within the heart. The Lord, the Prince of Peace, that comes in to destroy the work of the devil, that comes in to overthrow his works and the effects of everything that he's trying to do in our lives, there's come one that desires to overthrow his kingdom, to overthrow his government, and to set up his own government, to set up his own kingdom. The effect of that, it says, will be peace. The effect of the work of righteousness will be peace that's produced in our lives. But I want to consider this morning, as I've written on the board, the increase of his government. The setting up of his kingdom is the start of a work. I don't believe this morning that we just eventually grow into salvation and we become a better and better person until the time that the Lord is pleased with us and he'll accept us because I've self-improved enough that now I can fit his approval. I don't believe that, but I also believe that there is a place for every one of us today, that there is an increase for us. There is an increase of his government, an increase of the work that he wants to do in our lives. So I want us this morning to be satisfied with salvation. I hope this morning that you're happy redeemed and free. I hope that you're enjoying your salvation, but I want to tell you, don't stay put. Don't stay in the same place that you are. It's easy for us to get into a place that we get content and satisfied right where I'm at. You remember the story of Elijah? Whenever the famine began on the land and the Lord was providing for Elijah, and He told him, I want you to go up to the brook Cherith. And there I've commanded ravens to feed you. And he went and he found, as the Lord said, he found a brook, he found water, and he found the ravens that would come in and bring him food. You know, that was a pretty good setup. But the Lord wasn't just interested in a welfare state or a place of retirement right there. Elijah, this isn't the place that I've brought you just to stay put the rest of your life. He brought him there, and there was a time and a period and a space that was the place that the Lord wanted Elijah. And He cared for Elijah there. He blessed Elijah there. He provided for him in that place. But do you know a time came whenever the brook dried up? There is a time whenever no longer, and I have to wonder if, and I believe that the birds quit flying. The river dried up, no more water to drink, and the Lord's provision, what happened? I'm not provided for anymore. But you know the Lord's purpose was? It's time to get up and move again. Don't get too content where you're at. Don't get too satisfied to just settle in right where you're at. And I've got it made right here. I feel pretty comfortable right here. Do you have a comfort zone this morning? Chances are we all have a place that we feel comfortable. Maybe it's pretty small. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot for the Lord to get me out of my comfort zone. But you know, the Lord wants to do that. The Lord has an increase for us. The increase of His government, there shall be no end. I want to think this morning of the old familiar story of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy 1 and 6 says, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the sea, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. I've got a land promised for you, but you're going to have to go in and possess it. You're going to have to be willing to get up from the place that you're at. You know, the Lord wasn't condemning the children of Israel for where they were, but He said, the time has come. I've cared for you here. You've had a good place here, and I've met you here, and I've talked to you, and I've provided for you here. But you've been here long enough. It's time to get up and move on to something better that I have for you. Don't be content to just stay right here where you are today or where you were yesterday. But the walk with the Lord that He wants every one of us to have is an increase. It is a continual going forward. There are places in our lives that the Lord will bring us to that He'll bless us right where we are. We'll feel the blessing of the Lord. But I want to warn us, don't get too comfortable right there. Don't get your nest made up too comfortably and think, I'm just going to stay right here. But the children of Israel learned that whenever the cloud was over the tabernacle, they would stay right there. Because it meant that's where the presence of the Lord is. That's where the Lord's glory and His blessings will be. But whenever the cloud picked up and moved, they went with it. Because the last place that I want to be is away from the Lord. It may be that the Lord blessed me right here yesterday, but do you think if they would have stayed and they saw the cloud of the Lord moving off, said, well, Lord, You provided for us for the last 2 months here. Lord, it's been real good here. I've enjoyed being here and being able to see the cloud over the mountain and being able to know that You're right here. I think I'm just going to stay right here. You think life would have continued on for them like that? You know, I believe chances are they would have been either overrun by the enemy, or they would have died of thirst and famine right there in the wilderness. And if we're in a place in our lives that maybe I'm living on yesterday's manna, I'm living on last year's experience. You know, that was good enough for last year. But the Lord wants to be able to draw us to something more. Not coming along and saying, how dare you be in the place that I blessed you in. But saying, I've got more for you. I don't want you to just get content to stay right there where you're at. Keep moving onward. The increase of His government. So He told him, you've been here long enough. It's time for you to pack your bags and get moving again. They went and they crossed over into the Canaan land. You know, it could have been real easy for them to just enjoy that moment. And I think they should have. I think they should have. Also, when they went through the Red Sea, remember they sang unto the Lord and they praised Him. They had just seen Pharaoh's army overthrown in the sea. But the Lord's plan wasn't for them to stay singing for the rest of their lives on the bank of the Red Sea. That's your experience. You live to the fullness of the time that the Lord has given you. But then it's time to move on to the next experience, to the next testimony. You know, the Lord has plenty to give us something new throughout our lives. The blessing of the Lord that He gave us last year is wonderful. But you know, chances are He has another blessing for us this year. And chances are next year He's going to have something new for us again. They got across the river. The Lord didn't tell him, well, you've arrived now. You've reached the Canaan land. Go ahead and pitch your tents and enjoy it now. But He said, you got a city to conquer now. And they won the battle. And after that, it still wasn't time to just sit. You see, there was a time and a place for them to enjoy that. To be able to win that and to be able to enjoy the spoils of their victory. But not for long. Because there were still enemies to be conquered. And the Lord led them even into the Canaan land from battle to battle to battle. You know, sometimes folks get confused about sanctification. They say, whenever I get sanctified, I got it all. But you know, I'm still struggling with some things. You know, it is a definite second work of grace. But from the moment that they stepped into the Canaan land, there was battle after battle after battle that the Lord led them through. And in our sanctification experience with the Lord, He'll lead us from battle to battle to battle through our lives. It's easy for us to say, Lord, I want You to just go ahead and cause them to all throw up their hands. And I want everything, the full measure of what You have for me, just dumped on me right here and right now. But I'd like to look at the way the Lord did that. It wasn't in one day. But if you look at Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. Verse 27, I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee, and I will send the hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. But I will not drive them out from before thee in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and by little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. I brought you into the Canaan land, and He had given them a promise already that every place that the sole of your foot will tread, every place that you're willing to go, it's yours. I'll give it to you. I've already promised it to you. But He put the burden upon them. He put the responsibility on them to say for themselves, how far do I want to go? How far am I willing to go into this experience? Remember what Caleb's request was? Caleb got over into the Canaan land and they were dividing out their portions of the land. Caleb at that point was an old man. 85 years old, I believe, it would have maybe been understandable for him to say, just give me this tract of land right along the river here. It's good enough for me. I'm old. Let me enjoy my last years. But instead, he looked and said, there's a mountain up there. And he said, give me that mountain. It's the place where the giants were. But he had within him a determination and a desire that I don't want to stop. I don't want to stay put. Even in my old age. Do you know there's not a place for any one of us? No matter how long we've walked with the Lord. No matter how long we've been saved. There's not a place for us to say, now I've arrived. Now I've reached a place that I'm satisfied and I'm just going to stay put right here until I die. There's really no staying put. We're either going to go forward with the Lord or we're going to be overcome and we're going to go back. Because the Lord's desire and His plan for us is that we increase in the things of the Lord. It'll take a desire. It'll take a willingness on our part to get up and move. From the place that I have been, from the place that I've maybe kind of gotten settled into, gotten a little bit comfortable, that I'm willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing to seek, I'm willing to go through some places to allow You to bring me to what You have planned for me. I'd like to look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The Lord's desire for us is no longer a land that we go conquer city to city, but in our experience and our walk with the Lord, there's a process of growing. You know that process of growing doesn't end. What was it that we started out by reading of the increase of His government? It'll end whenever you hit a certain age. We expect whenever we're children or we have children and we watch them grow and watch the process of them develop and learning how to walk and mature and all that, we expect them to reach a point that they're not going to grow anymore. They've already grown to the full stature of manhood or womanhood and they've reached that point. Is there such a point in our walk with the Lord? Is there a place that we reach that we say, I've grown enough now. I've grown to the fullness of what the Lord wants me to do. I'm glad I've done that and now I'm going to go ahead and coast the rest of the way. There is no end to the increase of His government. To the work that He wants to do in our lives, there is no end unto it. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he said, whenever I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But whenever I became a man, I put away the childish things. There was a time and a place to be a child. There was nothing wrong with being a child. There was nothing wrong with acting like a child. But the problem is, whenever I get to the point that I should be a man, and I'm still acting like a child, that's a problem. There is an expectation that the Lord has for every one of us as we walk with the Lord and as we follow Him, that we will grow in the Lord, that we'll grow in grace, that we'll learn more of Him, and His graces will grow within us. There is a place, and I think the Lord takes a lot of pleasure in watching newborn babes in Christ. You know, if I've been saved 20 years, He doesn't want me to just act like a newborn babe. There is an expectation that comes. Even with our children, there's an expectation. You've gotten to a certain point. Okay, that was cute at one time, but it's not cute anymore. That's not cute to look at because I'm expecting something of you now. That you started to mature, you started to develop. You're this age now. And I expect you to act differently than you used to act. Do you think the Lord has some expectations from us? I have to say, Lord, how am I doing against your expectations for me? The Lord is our reasonable service. You know, the Lord does not expect us the day we get saved to be like the mature saying in the congregation that's been saved for 40 years, doesn't expect us to have the same maybe level of faith or the graces within our lives and learning and knowing how to follow the Lord. But there is a place that the Lord begins to expect from us a little more. Speaking as a child, understanding as a child, as Paul said, we expect to see in children some immaturity, some selfishness, thinking about myself more than other people. Is it very often that you find within a child something gets broken, something goes wrong, someone gets hurt? It was my fault. It was my fault. I'm the one that did it, and step up and take responsibility of the blame. Or is it more often that you see trying to blame somebody else, trying to point the finger somewhere else? And, you know, I see that on the job from people that I expect not to be children. Remember a time that I had a couple ladies that worked for me. They were in their 50s, maybe 60 or so. They didn't like each other. They didn't get along. They tried to avoid each other and not cross paths and so forth. But somehow this had boiled to a head one night shortly after I had left to go home. And I heard the report of it the next day that they were almost to the point of a fist fight. Name calling and cussing at one another and screaming at each other and all of that. And it said to the point that other people and grown men were hiding behind their machines to try to watch and see what was going to happen. They didn't want to get in the way of these two women that were going at each other. So I had the unfortunate privilege of talking to them. And said, look, we're going to get in a room together, the two of you and me, and we're going to talk through this. That wasn't a very pretty sight. I left in about 20 minutes of talk with a complete headache. There were two women that were, and I tried to tell them that I want to have a chance to talk here for a little bit. I said, you know, I'm frankly ashamed of the way you're acting. I feel like I ought to go home and get my parenting 101 book to get a tip of how to raise children here. You know what they did? They nodded their head in agreement while they were looking at the other person. Yeah, they sure are acting like a child, but they weren't able to see. There is an expectation that I have that you get beyond that. You're not still back in that place. I understand it from a 2-year-old. But come on, you're not 2 years old anymore. There should have been something that happened somewhere in that 58 years. There should have been something that happened to bring you beyond that point. But before I get too critical, I have to say, Lord, help me. Maybe there have been some places in my life where I should have been a little more mature in my walk with the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5 and 11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of meat, milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Is he saying here that milk is something to be avoided? That milk is something that you ought to just stay away from. Remember the scripture that says, as dear children, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So the purpose of the milk is not just for your enjoyment, but to bring growth in your life. It's to allow you to grow into maturity, into a place that now I'm able to accept a little bit stronger thing in my life. The Lord to bring along something a little meatier for me to chew on. And I can handle that now. That I don't get maybe so easily offended or so easily turned away. That there comes a time now that I'm able to handle a little bit more. Because I've been growing in the Lord. He said here that there is an expectation that even Paul had. That there's a time that's come that you should have been able to be teachers yourself. You should have been able to be teaching others. There should have been this progression of your faith, of allowing the Lord to work with you. But He said you still need someone to teach you. I don't believe in condemnation, but in challenging them. How's your growing in the Lord? How's your growth with the Lord? Are you allowing His government to increase in your life? Remember what the Lord's prayer was? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Is that our prayer in our lives? In the battles and in the temptations that we face from day to day. Lord, let Your kingdom come. Lord, let the work of Your righteousness increase in my life. Lord, the peace that You want to bring me whenever I'm in turmoil and I'm struggling in my mind and I'm fearful and all these things. Lord, increase the work of Your government. Lord, would You rule in a greater way in my life in this opportunity to allow You to grow me. Lord, would You cause there to be an increase. Children, we don't find to be always real dependable. Whenever I was a child, remember I'd get ideas or I'd want to go off and do something and I lost interest very quickly. It wasn't easy for my dad to give me a job and say, Clint, I need this to be done and count on me as a young child that I'd go through and I'd really assess the situation and what's dad really wanting and I'm going to stick with it if I'm late to dinner, I'm going to stick with it until I get the job done. That wasn't something, maybe you children are different. But the Lord wants us and our walk with Him to be able to develop in Him and grow that I can be dependable. Children, as we read here in Ephesians 4, He said that you be not soon shaken. That you don't be like children that are tossed to and fro. I've used the illustration different times of Hannah, at times that we'd be going down the road and traveling and we're gonna stop and get something to eat. And so sometimes we give the children the opportunity to voice a vote in the matter and with, of course, veto rights on the parents' behalf. But give them a voice. What do you want? One of them will say maybe Taco Bell and somebody else Wendy's. And I've seen in the mirror before Hannah voice her opinion. And then I see one of her brothers lean up and start whispering in her ear. And all of a sudden her vote flips. And she changed her mind. She doesn't want that anymore. And that's okay and it's cute as a child. But whenever it comes to spiritual matters, whenever it comes to the convictions that I hold most sacred, Lord, help me that I not be that way. That I hear one thing from the pulpit, and yes, that sounds good. And then I go hear a confusing sound from somewhere else. And I say, well, that sounds good too. And I'm swayed to and fro. Children are many times shallow of understanding. Maybe don't understand all the reasons and the whys and wherefores of why mom and dad have asked me to do this. All I understand is the yes or the no. The do or the don't. You know the Lord wants us to get beyond an experience like that with Him. That all I'm able to grasp is just the law or the rules or the do or the don't. But that I can have an experience with Him
that I follow on to know the Lord, that I grow in Him and I grow in grace and I go beyond a point that I have no idea why the saints teach this. That's what I've always heard. That's a starting point. And I want to say it's not something for us to say, well, just don't accept anything that you hear preached until you fully understand the doctrine and theology of it. You know, there's a place of being in submission. There's a place of until I come to an understanding that I mark the perfect man and I see they have an experience with the Lord. And there's something that witnesses to my heart that that's right. Until I come to the point. See, it's not enough though to stop there. It's not enough, although there is a place for a child, it's not enough to stay in the state of a child for all my life. I need to have a desire in every one of us. Lord, I want to grow up in You. I want in different places, and it's not, again, to be critical, but places that I think the Lord would want to show every one of us. In different places in our experience with Him. I've got some more growth for you here. I've got a place here. It's okay for where you were yesterday, but if you'll follow Me, I want to be able to strengthen those things in your life. So, the Lord doesn't expect us, as I said when we start out, to be as the old brother or sister that's been saved for 50 years. But do you know being saved for 50 years doesn't necessarily mean that we're where we need to be? Age itself, and I want to look at what Elihu said in the book of Job. Job chapter 32. Job's comforters were talking to them and to Job or trying, but they had come to a point that they ceased to answer Job and they were just sitting there speechless, didn't have any words to say to him. And Elihu had come on the scene here and he was sitting back and watching this scene before him. Here was a man that was in great distress. A man that needed help, a man that was looking for answers, was looking for comfort. And these men were sitting by speechless. They didn't have anything to give him or didn't have anything to say. And it says, Elihu, verse 4, had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not shew you mine opinion. I said, they should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. You know, the Lord has an expectation for every one of us. According to His reasonable service, according to the measure of grace that He has dealt to every one of us, He's not measuring me against your experience. He's not measuring where I'm at according to where you're at in your walk. But He's measuring me according to how He's dealt with me, according to the dealings that He's brought my way, according to the way that He's dealt with me through messages and through the trials of my life and the way that He's talked to me. He's measuring me against where I should be compared to that, compared to the way that He's dealt with me. It says here, as Elihu was looking on the scene, he gave space as he should have to the elders. But you know, it wasn't just age. Because he said age should be what brings wisdom. It should be, and you know, the Lord, in our walk with Him and the longer we've walked with the Lord, we should be able to have more and more on hand from which we can be able to help others. It's the Lord's plan. It's the Lord's design. So He said in Titus chapter 2, that the aged men, they should be sober, they should be grave, they should be temperate. That the aged women likewise, that they would be able to teach the younger women. There's an expectation of those that are aged. So what does that mean? Everybody in the congregation over the age of 70, You come sit over here because you're the aged in the congregation that are in the place to be able to teach and give wisdom. Do you know that we can go through life, maybe you've seen or you've known or you've lived around people that are this way, that are 60 years old and frankly just never grown up. It's not years in and of itself that will do the growing up. You know, we can also go through battles in our life that the Lord intends for our good. And I can come out the other side of it having not gotten one bit of good out of it. The Lord can bring me to a place, a trial of my faith or of my patience. I can come up to that red light that seems to take way too long. Maybe that's a bad example here in Green Bank. But I can come to a place that is something that takes just too much patience for my part. And I can sit there and chafe under that thing and just, oh, I just can't stand it. Why does this have to happen to me? I can't wait till this thing is over, till I get to the other side of it. And what could have been an opportunity for me to say, Lord, help me to learn a little patience here. Lord, help me to just take a deep breath, to be able to just enjoy the beauty around me for a minute instead of being so impatient. But I can go through that, you understand, and not having gotten what the Lord intended for me to get. So I want to challenge us this morning. Let's get what the Lord has for us. Let's be willing that I not just get comfortable in a place that I've always been here and it's always been okay. I've always been able to get by living in this place. There may come a time that what I had last year is not enough for the battle that I'm going to face in the future. You think the Lord knows that? The Lord knows how to prepare us for the future. The Lord knows how to prepare us for the things that are coming. Scripture says, speaking of the chastening of the Lord, or the Lord's dealings with us, as a father, his son that he loves. He says, it doesn't seem very, in my words, fun at the moment. It doesn't seem very joyous or joyful at the time, but nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You remember how the end of that went? Unto those who are exercised thereby. If we'll allow the things that the Lord brings into our life to teach us. Lord, help me to learn from this thing. Help me not to just chafe under it and not to just go through it in such a way that I get out on the other side and I've not benefited a thing from it. There are some things that we've had to learn through trial and affliction and things that I've said, Lord, I don't want to have to go through this school again. I don't want to have to go through this again just to learn the thing that you wanted me to learn this time. Lord, help me to get a hold of it. It's not easy sometimes to allow the Lord, because what it requires is sometimes the Lord wants to kind of prod me out of the nest that I've made and gotten comfortable in. And I've gotten comfortable and I've gotten a little bit complacent, a little bit indifferent, and I'm content just to kind of settle in right here where I'm at. You know the Lord knows how to fix that? That nice fluffy nest that we build, He knows how to put a few thorns in it to try to get us moving. I've got something more for you. I don't want you to stay here. I want you to go forth and possess the land. But I believe that He knows our human tendency and nature will be just like the ruts that you fall into, that I just tend to gravitate towards that I'm used to, that I'm comfortable with the way that I've always been. I just kind of tend to revert back to that instead of allowing the Lord to really cause me to grow, to stretch me in places that will get us out of our comfort zone. I'd like to look at the book of Mark. Mark, the 4th chapter. Mark 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. We read of different parables the Lord used. One of them was the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. It causes a growth, it causes a loaf that was small to grow and to expand. And the vision that Daniel had of a stone that was cut out of the mountain that smote the image or the beast or other kingdoms, won't get too far into that, but he said that that stone, it began to grow and it grew into a big mountain that filled the whole earth. That's the kingdom of God. That is the government that he came to set up. Is something that would continually grow and increase in our lives. He says here of the kingdom of God being like a little seed. We read also the parable of the sower and the seed. He went forth and he sowed the seed and he planted it, and some of it, of course, fell on the hard or the stony ground, and some fell among thorns and they choked out the seed or the plant whenever it grew up and it wasn't able to bear fruit. But others fell on good ground and it brought forth much fruit or an abundance of it. You know, when you really stop to think about it, a little seed of whatever nature it is, a little seed has within it that God has designed and packed within that small seed, the, however you want to call it, the intelligence or the information, that it'll be able to follow the same process that every other plant has followed of its kind. That it will bring, as according to the law of sowing and reaping, it'll bring forth after its kind. How does it do that? You know, it wasn't the sower that caused the growth. The sower planted the seed, and as long as the soil was in the right condition, the seed was able to grow. You know, it's what the word of the Lord will do. We're not able to. Jesus said of the cares of life, which one of you, by taking one thought, are able to add a cubit to your stature? I remember whenever I was a child and I had older brothers, of course, so it seemed like I was never big enough, was never tall enough, was never strong enough, could never run fast enough, always wanted to be able to grow. But you know, there was nothing I could do to immediately make that happen. But as you can see, it seems like it did. There was nothing that I could do to think or to produce that growth within myself. But there was a process that the Lord had set in motion. There was nothing that this farmer could have done to command or to cause that plant to grow forth. But if the conditions are right, the seed that the Lord has designed will grow and it will bring forth fruit. It's what this kingdom is. That's what he likened it unto. It's like the kingdom of God. Whenever he plants the seed within our lives, if the condition of our hearts are right, if we do our part, so the farmer did have a part here, the ground or the soil, Jesus said, is like the heart. The condition of, we have a responsibility to keep our hearts tender, to have a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness, a desire and a seeking and a following after Him. There's a responsibility that I have, but I can't bring forth spiritual growth in myself. I can't just sit there and say, Lord, I don't have enough faith, that I'm going to think hard enough. Now I've got the faith that I need. It's a grace within us. Grace is something that's not natural. It's not something I can produce in myself. It's a work that God grows within us. It's divine. It's something that what I don't have on hand, the Lord is able to produce in our lives. So let's let in every one of our lives, let the Word work. Allow the Lord to use the trials that come your way to produce the growth that the Lord wants in your life. And if we allow it to, what was it that Paul said? I have planted, and Apollos came along and watered, and God's the one that gave the increase. God's the one that caused it to bring forth. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter. I can look at others and say, oh, I wish I was as spiritual or as solid and as sound and had as much faith as they did, or our fathers that have gone before us, oh, I wish But you know, you don't get there by wishing. We don't get there by just saying, I wish I had what so-and-so had. But I got to get it the same way that they got it. On our knees. By keeping the soil of my heart right. So that whenever the Lord brings those difficult people into my life, it doesn't just work more impatience and bitterness within me. But there's a plant and a seed the Lord has planted that He causes to start springing forth. And over the process of time, so it requires good soil, the seed to be planted, the water of His Word that we read about, that we regularly water our lives with His Word and the preaching of His Word and listening and reading and our personal devotions. And it requires time. It requires diligent effort over the process of time. It's not something that I start out with a great enthusiasm and I expect that I've got everything on hand that I need now. And then I get into a little bit of trial and difficulty and I didn't have on hand quite what I thought I did. And I might as well throw in the towel, might as well quit. But the Lord wants us to be able to bear fruit, to be able to bring forth of abundance unto Him. And it's what the seed will do if allowed to do what seed does. If we allow the Lord to work in our lives as He wants to work, it'll cause us to grow. There are growth deficiencies. There are diseases that stunt growth in people. They're not able to grow or they're not able to progress beyond a certain point. You think there are spiritual diseases that can thwart our growth? You believe there are things that we can allow into our lives or condition of our life or allowing as the soil with the thorns, you allow some thorns to grow up and the cares of life. You think it won't hinder the growth and the fruit bearing that the Lord wants? Luke, I believe the 13th chapter, we read about a parable of the husbandman, the master of the vineyard, or the keeper of the vineyard had come along and he found a tree that wasn't bearing fruit. He wasn't just looking for a shade tree, he was looking for a tree that was bearing fruit. So the Lord is not in our lives just looking for somebody that I'm standing here and I look like a Christian and I sound like a Christian, but He's coming along wanting to sample of the fruit of our lives, to be able to taste of it, to be able to know, yes, that is what I planted. You're bearing forth fruit of the Spirit. You know what else fruit does? Whenever fruit is picked or it falls, it brings forth again of its own. That's what we're to be in the kingdom of God. Every one of us in our lives, in our little sphere of influence, to those that we encounter and we work around, when the seed and the fruit falls from my life, what is it going to produce? What's it going to bring up? And my children that are coming along behind me, the fruit that they see fall from my life, what's it going to cause to spring up in their own? I want it to be something that I'm not just standing there as a shade tree, but that I'm able to bring forth fruit. And that's what the expectation of the master of the vineyard was. He came along and he was expecting to find fruit. Whenever he found none, he said, cut it down. Why does it encumber the ground? Why is it wasting space in my vineyard if it's not doing what I've designed for it to do? But then the keeper of the vineyard came in and he intervened. And we understand that to be Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord that He comes in and intervenes. That whenever I get into places sometimes, that I get a little comfortable, that I get a little bit complacent, that I'm not really seeking the Lord as fervently as I ought to seek. There's a little bit of leanness in my soul. You know, the Lord's right there to say, let me dig about them. Give me a little while longer to work with them. It may be difficult. It may require some pruning, some cutting off, some digging about. But let me do everything that I can to cause them to bring forth fruit. Father, don't cast them away yet. No, oh, I thank the Lord that He's so long-suffering to work with us throughout our lives. But His working with us is to bring us to the point that I can begin to bear fruit. Be not weary in well-doing, because in due season we will reap. If we do the right things, if I say, you know, I want that, Lord, I want to grow in my experience with you. I want to grow in my walk with you. How do I do it? How do I grow? Allow the growth to happen. You do the things that you ought to do. You feed the inner man. You take a child that wants to grow up. Why do the parents usually tell, well, eat your broccoli, eat your spinach, and that's the sales pitch for all the vegetables and everything. You eat all that, and you're going to grow up, and you're going to grow strong. And sure enough, you do. You invest in that over the course of time, and the growth will happen in our lives. It is assured of us. I remember a message when I was a child that stuck out to me. I had been praying, Lord, I want to draw closer to you. I want to be more like you. I remember Brother Lewis Kimball saying something pretty simple. He said, you want to draw closer to the Lord, spend an hour a day with Him and see what happens. You invest in this thing and see what happens. You can't make growth happen. You can't just sit there and say, Lord, I want more grace. I want more pay. Go ahead and just dump it on me. But if I invest in it, if I do the right things, to invest, to water, to make sure the soil is in the right condition over the course of time. And that's where the Lord wants us to be able to look back. And I hope this morning that we can look back in our own lives and say, from where I was a year ago, I can see some growth. I can see some places I used to struggle with that thing, and the Lord has helped me and He's brought me along. But even Paul said, Philippians the 3rd chapter, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting all those things that are behind, the past that's behind me, I'm looking forward, I'm ever looking forward, and I'm wanting to go onward and upward, reaching forth for the prize that is before us. Is that what we're doing today? Do we have that longing within us? Lord, I want to grow. I want to be more like you. I want to follow you. The Apostle Paul said there was a striving for. I don't consider myself to have apprehended, or in other words, I'm not there yet. I've been in this thing for a long time, but I'm not in a place that I can stop yet. Nor will any of us be until we get there, until we get to heaven. Proverbs chapter 4 says, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shineth more and more until the perfect day. And it doesn't stop until then. The increase of His government, there shall be no end. It'll just continue increasing and growing within our lives until the point that the Lord says, by the crop that grew, is said, whenever it brought forth the fruit, He thrust in the sickle and He took it home with Him. Until we get to the point that the Lord says, I'm ready to take you home. Every one of us must, until that time, allow His government to increase in our lives and to grow in Him. You pray for me. Amen.